5 to 6:30 p.m. in New Cross. And I know, you know, as I was looking for a building, as I called the place, and as I went there, memories started to flood back again. As I remember the day when Bebewaji said to Mike, "I do." And I remember the day when Suzanne, back then she was at Bakoko, about to become Mrs. Edu, said, "I do." I said, "Yes." And he brings up memories. So we're going to be in the old hall. We're having a great time because it's good to be able to remember Jesus as we do the things that we do. But I must say, I really want to thank the kids up on stage today for what they did. You know, let's give them a round of applause. And I got to tell you guys, I was impressed when Holly got up there. She was quoting those scriptures. Now, when she started to quote the scriptures, I said, "Now, I quote different scriptures of the Bible. That one, I haven't memorized that." So, amen. Do you understand? You just got to give credit to where credit is due. But I believe, you know, it's great to be here this morning. It was great to hear the guys during the welcome today, Rob, saying that Christmas is a time of giving. Great to hear Joshua saying, being with family. And I think Rosemary Stevens spoke about rest. You understand? I got a little bit scared with that. No, just kidding. Rest. We all need to rest. And, you know, Marvin, more time to spend with God. And I think, you know, if there's anything else I could just impart to the congregation, when we go away for Christmas, it's not the time to slow down with our God. It's the time for us to grow closer to our God and recharge those batteries and come back into the new year. Do you understand? Ready, refreshed, and really saying, "God, I'm ready for 2012. And I know our theme next year is of greater worth than gold. And we're thinking about the Olympics. And that's why we have the book of Peter right there. It is going to be a great, great time. But you know, today, as I was thinking about today, if there's anything that I wanted to share today, was just the whole idea of gratitude. Because sometimes over Christmas, you've got to think about the heart of Jesus. So today I want to talk about gratitude. 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 Do you understand? Does anybody know what does it mean to have gratitude? What does that word mean, gratitude? Okay, Davis. Thankfulness. And what? Expression of thankfulness, absolutely. So what you're saying is we cannot keep it in our hearts. If you're grateful, it shows. So I cannot have gratitude on the inward side and not show it. Wow. Okay, that's deep. Thank you. A heart of appreciation. You've all said, you know, gratitude means thankfulness, counting your blessings, noticing simple pleasures, and acknowledging everything that you receive. It means learning to live your life as if everything were a miracle, and being aware on a continuous basis of how much you've been given. Gratitude shifts your focus from what your life lacks to the abundance that is already present. And I think sometimes, guys, we can be living in the land of have-nots rather than living in the land of what I have already. And we've been blessed with so much. And so the title of our message today is Gratitude, the Indispensable Attitude. Gratitude, the Indispensable Attitude. Why? Because when you're grateful, your attitude determines your altitude, how you see life. Because if your attitude is one of thankfulness, then what happens is it affects every area of your life. You know, Meister Eckhart, this is just a quote, it says, "If the only prayer you say in your life is thank you, that would be enough." Little boy, one day, was with his mom. And the mom, and there's a nice gentleman with a young boy. And the boy, you know, The young boy was there with his mom, and a nice man walks up to them and gives the little boy, you understand, an orange. And the mom was trying to teach the son a valuable lesson. And then she's looking at the boy and says, "What do you say? What do you say to the gentleman? What do you say?" The young boy took the orange, gave it back to the gentleman and said, "Peel it." Okay, I hear, "No way." Amen. Andrew Carnegie, the multimillionaire, left $1 million for one of his relatives. Andrew Carnegie, big industrialist in America. Just a wealthy, wealthy guy. I think he's the founding father of Carnegie Mellon University in, right there in Philadelphia. It says he gave $1 million to one of his family. Guys, if you've got $1 million, I'll be shouting hallelujah. That's it. Time to retire. Do you understand? Just go sit in the sun. Hey, man, $1 million? Oh, man, $1 million. That's around in exchange rates. Who knows what that is? Just a little bit above half a million there. It says, left $1 million for one of his relatives, who in return cursed Carnegie thoroughly because he had left $365 million to public charities and had cut him off with just one measly million. How does that make you feel? Yeah, thank you. You're kind of thinking, gosh. Ah. But really, if you are in that situation or something close to your heart or in a family, isn't that right? Because there is one thing that divides families today, it's inheritance. When it comes to money, it divides, you know, you're in a family, somebody gets $500,000, somebody gets $1 million, they give you £1,000, you're going to be thinking, why me? Isn't that right? You'll be thinking that. And yet, you know, guys, how does that make you feel when you hear a story of ungratefulness? How does it make you feel when you hear a story of ingratitude? How does it make you feel when you hear somebody being unappreciative and thankless? How does it make you feel? Gratitude, the indispensable attitude. One scripture from the Gospels, Luke chapter 17. Luke 17 verse 11. All the way down to 19. The 10 lepers. A mother was teaching her kids how to sing, and the kids had definitely learned how to sing these church songs very, very well. And we love our kids in the church because our kids, you know, they're growing up in an atmosphere of worship. Our kids are growing up in an atmosphere, a culture of worshiping God, which is fantastic. I see these kids, I think, man, it brings joy to my heart because I feel you're on the right path. But, you know, we sing songs like, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. So one day, little mommy's there, and you know, and they used to sing soon and very soon in the household. But next door, her son was singing the song one day, and she was wondering what he was singing. And she put her ears to the door, he was singing, soon and very soon, we are going to Burger King. So we know that that day, it was Burger King on the King's mind, not going to see the King. Isn't that right? For us, is it soon and very soon? Dots, dots, dots. What is it for you? You fill in the blanks. Luke 17, verse 11. Bible reads, now on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. As he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. They stood at a distance and called out in a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. When they saw him, he said, go show yourselves to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. 10 lepers. 9 of them were Jews. 1 of them was a foreigner. And it was a foreigner who came back and said, Jesus, hey, thank you for what you have done. Then the Bible reads, it says, Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. In the scriptures, apart from Luke chapter 5, in the Old Testament, you read about 2 healings of leprosy. Miriam, Moses' sister, when she was kind of being racial towards Moses because he had married what? An Ethiopian, a Cushite. And Moses told Miriam, stand outside the camp. So we find that one cure there. Secondly, we find the cure of leprosy when Naaman was being told to go and wash himself in the river what? Jordan. And he was kind of, guys, if you had a cure for an illness you had right now, what would you do? You take it. The prophet, Elisha said, go wash yourself in the river Jordan. And what was he saying? Leprosy all your life. Oh, well, you know, couldn't there be Abana and Pharpar, the spring waters of Buxton? No, the waters were dirty. You know, guys, it's those little things that come out of our lips and our hearts that really show how grateful we are. You know, one of the things that we see right here, one foreigner came back. You know, leprosy is definitely a very, very debilitating disease. It eats a disease of slow lingering death, and, you know, you die inch by inch. That's what happens. You die inch by inch. It just eats you up. Loss of sensation. And only one of them was able to come back and say, thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Point number one, gratitude keeps our hearts pure. Gratitude keeps a heart pure. You know, gratitude is a very, very common sin. Isn't that right? These lepers right here had forgotten about their healing. When you look at the book of Exodus, the Bible says God had inflicted 10 plagues on the Egyptians. And yet, when they came out of the Exodus, after God had healed them, what happened? They started to grumble. They weren't content. Critical attitudes that aren't dealt with after their deliverance. Now, when I was growing up, back in the days, you know, when we grew up, you know, I had to learn the whole idea about gratitude. You know, this Christmas, last Friday, we had a secret Santa. It was fantastic. Everybody getting gifts. One gift here, exchanging gifts. It's a time of giving. All of us were grateful because everybody got a gift. Nobody was left out. When I was growing up, guys, you know, because you know, I want to talk to some of us young preteens and the growing up culture nowadays, because sometimes our parents buy us things and we feel it's not good enough if it's not a label. My label is, if it's 100% cotton, that's good enough for me. If it doesn't have a tick, it's not good enough. When I was growing up, we used to go to the tailors back then, 1.5 yards to sew the trousers. 1.5 yards. And you have to, and you know, and you have to be grateful, do you understand? And I had no choice in the material that my dad bought. I had no choice. So they bought the material, and then the chefs also were sewed. I gotta tell you guys, sometimes the tailors who sewed those clothes, they did a butch up job. And there you are, in the Christmas family, there, standing in the picture, and the clothes doesn't fit well. I can't think. I remember one year, the material my dad bought, bless his heart, was actually drape material. It was thick. That was the Christmas trouser. You understand what I'm saying? And when the tailor had finished sewing the trousers, they were ankle swingers. They weren't touching the shoes. So the socks were showing. So there you are, as a young kid, do you understand? And you're walking around kind of thinking, this is not good. This is curtain material right here. And then, you know, and it was kind of flowery. And then the shirt also is flowery. There's a clash of colors, do you understand? And then they say, we're going to church, do you understand? To see everyone. And you're kind of thinking, okay, let's go. And then it's the same clothes you're going to wear to a party. And you're kind of thinking, man. But we learn gratitude. I said, I'm thankful for what I have. Thankful for what I have. You know, kids, are you thankful? Church, are we thankful for what God gives us? Are we thankful? Brothers and sisters, are we grumbling Jews? Are we grateful Christians? There are many things to be grateful for, isn't that right? There are many things. I'm grateful for my brothers and sisters in the church. Because sometimes we can focus on what we have, what we lack, rather than what we have in Christ. There are many things to be grateful. You know, Psalm 35, verse 18. Thanking God for his deliverance. Psalm 52. For loving us and being faithful. Look at Psalm 107. Look at Psalm 107. Psalm 107. This is the only one we're reading, Psalm. Look at Psalm 107. Attitude of thankfulness. 107. I guess some of you guys have beaten me to it. Psalm 107. verse 8. You know, brothers and sisters, this Christmas, if there's only one thing I can leave you with, say thank you to Jesus. Be grateful for what he's done in your life. Even though sometimes we can focus on the things that he hasn't done, but he's done enough already. You know, in Psalm 107 verse 8, the Bible reads. Look at what it says. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Satisfies the thirsty. Many of us were thirsty, we're hungry. God has filled our lives with good things. If we were to go around, there's so many things that we can thank God for. I look at my life. Some things I thank God for. Number one, I've been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sins. I've got salvation. I've been redeemed. We sing that song, I've been redeemed, washed in the blood of the Lamb. I say, God, that's enough. When I think about my life in the past and I think about my life now, I am thankful to God for that. You know, Jesus and God, they call us his sons and daughters. We've been delivered. Have we forgotten about our deliverance, brothers and sisters? One leper came back and said, what? He said, thank you. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Gratitude keeps our heart pure. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. What is the goal in life for us, brothers and sisters? The goal is for us to be habitually thankful, not critical. Habitually thankful, not critical. There was a Kansas City minister who did an exercise for his church. And he proposed to his congregation. He says, you know, he wanted his congregation to go 21 days without complaining, criticizing, or gossiping. 21 days. And he told them that for them to do that, they have to wear kind of a no complaint wristband. Now, guys, I think that would be a challenge. To go 21 days without complaining, criticizing, isn't that right? Or being critical. Well, you know what? I said, I'm going to give myself that challenge. 21 days into the new year. I'm going to see what I can do it. Now, guys, I am human. It is hard. But 21 days of what? No gossiping. 21 days of no criticizing. 21 days of no complaining. How many of us are up to the task? That's a challenge. We'll try. But an attitude of thankfulness. But you know, that is what God wants us, you know, because you know, when we train ourselves to do that, we become better persons for it. Isn't that right? You know, we've got to be grateful Christians. Brothers and sisters, grateful Christians has an impact. None of us wants to be around people who are thankless. None of us. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 21 days. Man. I've got to tell you, I might say 21 days. And, you know, I'm looking around and I'm going to say, there is something in the service that didn't go well. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm complaining already. So 21 days, guys. Just think about that. Just think about that. I guess a lot of the kids raised up their hands quickly. Amen. I appreciate it. They've got purer hearts. Amen. Do you know what I'm saying? They've got purer hearts. They raise up their hands. They say, we can do it. But some of us adults, we've got to think that through. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16. Look at what it says. It says in verse 16, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in what? No, guys, did he say give thanks in some circumstances? All circumstances, all circumstances, all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in all. You know, sometimes, guys, things are not done well. Isn't that right? Sometimes you might go, you know, sometimes, you know, things might not go well with food or clothing. And sometimes we just got to say, thank you, God, for what you have given me. Thank you, God, for what you have given me. You know, there are many ways to practice gratitude. You know, I'm so grateful for the people in my life who have helped me over the years. I'm so grateful for them. Grateful for the man like Douglas Arthur, grateful for the man like Walter Evans, whether it's the Fred Scotts, you know, do you understand? Grateful for just the so many brothers, the Henry Creeks, who have helped me in my life. Are we grateful for that? You know, one of the things is, as I was reading the book, it says right here that sometimes it's good for you to write a note to somebody who has helped you and go in front of them, sit in front of them, and just express your heartfelt gratitude. I mean, guys, we've got to do that. You know, look to the person next to you and say, I am grateful for you in my life. Look, just look at the person and say, I'm grateful. Because if we don't express it, it stays in there. I'm grateful. Now, guys, can I just put a caveat here? I don't know whether you had a marital spike this morning. But I'm sure you've solved it because you've had communion. So I'm sure you can look to the person next to you and say, I am grateful for you in my life. Isn't that right? Absolutely. I'm grateful for Joe. Do you understand what I'm saying? Amen. Amen. That is good. That is good. Grateful. Gratitude in our hearts. Another practical note. Keep a gratitude journal. At the marriage retreat, with husbands and wives, I think one of the things the couple said was keeping the things that we feel positive about our spouse about. Keep a gratitude journal. And I think, you know, because keeping a journal, what does that journal do? What it does is it focuses your mind on things you are grateful for. 3 to 10 things every day, whether it's in the morning or before you go to bed. Positive. By the time you've done that for a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks, it changes your whole mindset. So you're not looking out for the negatives, you're looking out for the positives all around you. And it does something to your being. Dr. Emmons, who has been studying gratitude for almost 10 years, 15 years now, and is considered by many to be the world's leading authority on gratitude, is the author of a book. Guys, I was, you know, as a kind of researcher, I kind of felt, people have dedicated their lives just to study out gratitude. I think it's a great study. And he wrote a book, Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier. The information in this book is based on research involving thousands of people conducted by a number of different researchers around the world. One of the things these studies show is that practicing gratitude can increase happiness levels by around 25%. This is significant. Among other things, because just as there's a certain weight that feels natural to your body and which your body strives to maintain, your basic level of happiness is set at a predetermined point. If something bad happens to you during the day, your happiness can drop momentarily, but then it returns to its natural set point. Likewise, if something positive happens to you, your level of happiness rises, and then it returns once again to your happiness set point. A practice of gratitude raises your happiness set point, so you can remain at a higher level of happiness regardless of outside circumstances. In addition, Dr. Emmons' research shows that those who practice gratitude tend to have more creative, bounce back quickly from adversity, have a stronger immune system, have stronger social relationships than those who don't practice gratitude. He further points out to say that to say we feel grateful is not to say that everything in our lives is necessarily great. It just means that we are aware of our blessings. Brothers and sisters, you know, this Christmas, we can go into it, but I want us to say thank you to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who delivered us from our lives, and the lights went up. That's okay. Grace turned off the lights. We forgive grace. Grateful Christians are positive, not negative. You know, life can be great if you look at the flowers. There are many things around us, family life, work life, that can really derail us. Isn't that right? But you know, circumstances definitely test the level of gratitude that's going to come out of our hearts. You know, in Luke 17, let's go back there. Luke chapter 17, as I round up here. Luke 17. Luke chapter 17. Are we there? You know, when we go there in verse 17 or verse 15, one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to them, rise and go, your faith has made you well. You know, the demon-possessed man in Mark chapter 5, We sing a song in church. I said I wasn't going to talk about it, but I couldn't keep it to myself. That's gratitude. When he was healed of his demons, what did you say? Go back to your family. But when he went into the 10 cities to share his faith. You know, guys, gratitude produces zeal. Do you know what I'm saying? If we're into ourselves as disciples over Christmas, we've got to say it's more blessed to give than to receive. You give, the more you give, the more you think about others than yourself, the more happier you will be as a disciple. But you know one thing? In point number two, gratitude sets us free. You know, I want to be free as a guy. You know, when I was growing up, I remember this incident very well. One of my mom's friends, she's over here right now. One of my best friends growing up, went to his house and had a meal. Yam porridge, they call it in Nigeria. I remember the bowl very well. It was a light blue bowl. And I went there after school in my shorts. And the parents, you know, had cooked this nice meal. And the woman had cooked a very nice meal. I was young then. I was around 15 years old. Went to the house, put the pottage before me. It was nice. And I whooped it all down. Licked the spoon with it also. And I walked out. I didn't say thank you. And the mom sent the son next day. And we were very close. And he says, you know what, Oaks? My mom said he didn't say thank you. Am I talking about the meal I had? Or sometimes what we do when God showers us with so many blessings? That we do not see the blessings. But all we see are what? The things he's not doing in our lives. You know, one of the things that a saying goes, it says, when blessings come upon a careless soul, he believes there is no one to thank. Yet when disappointments come, he grumbles, there must be someone to blame. We often write our blessings in the sand, and we engrave our complaints in the marble. Brothers and sisters, are we thankful this morning? An unthankful heart is a fertile soil for all kinds of sins. You know, the foreigner in the story right here was a Samaritan. The Jews hated the Samaritans. There was segregation, but there was also a coming together of these two people. You know, Jews, Samaritans, Gentiles, they mixed together. But because they were lepers, their disease brought them together. So they were fine. And it's amazing how, you know, how that happens. And yet, one of the things that we see here is that one of them came back and Jesus healed him because he came back and said thank you. And Jesus says, you know what? Go in peace. He says in verse 17 here towards the end, it says, rise and go. Your faith has made you well. I don't know about you this morning. When I was growing up, I was religious. God made me, you know, God blessed us physically with so many things. Isn't that right? But are we rich spiritually in the eyes of God? It's not about, you know, when we talk about gratitude, it's always about people. It's never about things. I'm grateful for the things I have. But really, when we talk about thankfulness in the Bible, it's always towards disciples. It's always towards people, never towards things. God has blessed all of us physically in so many great ways. But spiritually speaking, are we thanking God for that great gift that he has given us? You know, the Samaritan right here, he came back to Jesus and he was set free. I can have all the physical blessings I can have in the world, but I can still be lacking spiritually in so many areas. Where are we this morning, guys? Where are we this morning? You know, as I close out right here, you know, gratitude definitely is the indispensable attitude. And I just want us this Christmas to cultivate an attitude of thankfulness towards each other. You know, kids, when you get that present, whether you like it or not, you say thank you. At least confess first, you understand? And then say thank you. You understand? Thankful for every single thing that we have in Christ. It might just be a card. Isn't that right? You might get a small card. Somebody might get a big card. It doesn't matter. You say thank you. Maybe with Secret Santa, you got a gift. Another person got another gift. Don't worry about it. They're all made in China. They're all the same. Just say thank you. Doesn't matter. A sense of gratitude in our hearts. And as we look at each other, you know, this Christmas, let's say thank you to each other for what we've done. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters in the worship team. I'm thankful for them for what they do. I'm thankful for the brothers and sisters who serve in the ushering. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for those sisters who labor, who count the money every single Sunday. I'm thankful. I'm thankful for the Kids Kingdom teachers. I'm thankful for them. I'm thankful for the ushers. I'm thankful for all of them because all of us give to God's body. Isn't that right? But we've got to express our thanks rather than say, this is not right. Hey guys, we missed the boat already. Jesus is in heaven. He left behind him an imperfect church. That's why there are 98 one another scriptures and scriptures on bearing with one another, being patient. Guys, let's be thankful to one another. If we could just change one thing this Christmas, guys, let us be thankful. Let us have an attitude of gratitude and let God do amazing things in our lives this Christmas. God bless you all. Amen. Amen. Amen.